Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable once again inviting you to gather around the Word of God with us for our weekly Bible study. Let's Talk About Jesus is the title of our Bible study. It's also most of what we study in the Bible is about Him because it revolves. He's the centerpiece, and that's taking nothing from God the Father. It's taking nothing from the Holy Spirit. The fact is, God the Father, who is glorified when the Son is magnified and lifted up. Because He said, God hath highly exalted Him, the Scriptures tell us, and given Him a name which is above every name that is named, of things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that at the sound of His name every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that He is Lord to the glory of God. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit said, I didn't come to speak of myself, but to testify of Him. Praise God. Well, I come to do the same thing, and I've come to glorify the Father through the Son, glorify the Son by the help of the Holy Spirit today. Amen. We're going to continue our study, the name of the Lord, our strong tower. And we're reading as a starting point scripture, Proverbs 18 and verse 10, which simply says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Praise God. I'm going to review just for a moment as we go forward, examine these titles and names given to God that we might know Him in every respect of His person. Listen, and particularly in His redemptive work toward us. Hallelujah. In biblical times, a name represented a person's character, his attributes, or nature. To know God's name, therefore, is to have His character revealed, essentially to really, truly know Him in that part of His being and character. To know who He is and to boast in His name is to have confidence in who He is. And we as Christians have a relationship with God that has grown from that old covenant type and foreshadow of Christ to all of the blessing and benefit of being reconciled to God when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, repenting of our sins and being reconciled unto God. And at that very moment, we are safe from a lack of provision because our God, our Heavenly Father, is Jehovah Jireh. He is a God that provides for everything that we could possibly need, spiritually, physically, financially, amen, emotionally, and above all, spiritually, amen. Let's look at this in Genesis 23, 13 and 14, where the term and the word given Him is Jehovah God, Jireh, which means to provide. Listen carefully. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Now that sounds terrible, but God planned this down to this particular time in Abraham's life. He told him to go out, didn't tell him where to go, but as he went, he gave him directions. He brought him to a place because he's already trusting that God is leading. Now he brings him to a place where he tells him to go up and offer a sacrifice unto God. There's nothing and no one and no beast and no, the only sacrifice that could have been offered was his son that he loved so very much. But God provided a sacrifice so Abraham would not have to do that. He was ready if it came to that, but God would never ask of that. There's nothing in His person. It was the pagan world that offered their children and babies as sacrifices to false pagan gods. But God wanted something from Abraham. He wanted Isaac's place in Abraham's heart. That doesn't mean he'd love Isaac less. It meant he would love God more. That's the difference. I love my wife. I'd lay down my life for her. We're going on 61 years of marriage. Yeah, I know I don't look that old. I don't look that old because you can't see me. Amen. Listen, I love my wife, and I'd lay down my life, and I wouldn't have to pray about it, think about it. I would do that in a moment because I love her that much. And I don't have to love her any less to love God more. If my wife said, "I'm going to leave you if you don't quit serving God like you do," then I would have to choose God. Not because he's pressuring me, forcing me, but because he is my Savior. He is my Creator. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my Lord. There's no one in the world that should be in that place in my heart. That's reserved for God and God alone. But the principle here is that God will always provide. God is a provider. The New Testament puts it this way: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, everything we need. In fact, the Bible says in the New Testament that He hath, because we received Jesus as our Savior, we're reconciled unto God. God is now our Heavenly Father, and we can call Him Abba Father in our personal relationship with Him. In our public relationship, we pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Listen, we reverence Him, and we reverence Him in our personal, private prayer closet. But in that prayer closet between us and God, we are able to call Him because of this paternal relationship we have with Him, Abba, Father. And because He is a provider. You know what He tells me as a dad and tells us as Christian fathers? He said, "If any man provide not for his own, he has denied the faith and has become worse than an infidel." That's how important to God providing for your own is. Friend of mine, I've met a lot of people down through the years that said, "I'm called to preach. I'm not going to work at all and provide for my family." Now, preaching provides for your family. Go preach. But if you need to be bivocational, I was bivocational 12 years out of the 50 years of pastoral ministry. I would preach. I took an afternoon shift, not a morning shift. I worked the shift that other people didn't want to work because they wanted to have that time, but I could have that morning free. Sunday morning, I was off. I was in the pulpit. I was available up until 2 in the afternoon to be at a hospital, be in any situation that I could fulfill my pastoral ministry, and there was an income enough with the help of a small church to take care of my family. Friend of mine, God looks at this. He will not ask more of us than He's going to do Himself, only on a greater and more vast level. Let's read about this in the book of Psalms, Psalm 145, verses 14 through 19. It said, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand." I want you to underscore that if you don't have your Bible open when you get to Psalm 145, you ought to highlight this. Sometimes we go to God in prayer like He's a tight-fisted God. No, He's not. Listen, This God is so benevolent, so gracious, and so merciful that He gave us His only begotten Son in order to save us. And the logic of the cross that I love the scripture, Romans 8 in verse 32, it said, if He loved us enough to offer up, that meant to give to us, to die upon the cross for us, to give up, offer up His only Son, how will He not also with Him give us all things? Listen, we sometimes, I've heard people pray as if God was a tight-fisted God and we had to wrestle with Him to receive help from Him. No wonder we couldn't pray in faith, because nothing could be farther from the truth about God. Amen. Don't let the devil deceive you. That's why we're studying the name of the Lord as a strong tower. We rush to this place of safety in the revelation, knowledge of Him through the Word of God, and those who saw what He did in their life, and they're the ones that testified of it. They published His doings among the people, even unto us today. Abraham said, make no mistake about it, our God is Jehovah Jireh. He is a provider. Praise God. And there's no greater provision. Not only does He provide for everything that He created, but He provides for His greatest creation, and that's you and me. Hallelujah. He gave His Son for us. And the New Testament says that, listen, seek the Lord and His righteousness. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. What things? Amen. It goes on to say in another portion, He hath given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and He gave it all to us when He gave us Jesus Christ, and when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We came into this reconciled relationship with God where we can cry in our personal walk with Him and talk with Him. Hallelujah. Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic, the word that they were speaking in that day, and it means daddy. I remember I was talking to somebody today, a dear, dear friend and fellow minister, and we were talking about Abba Father. How do we balance the reverence for God with the relationship we now have with Him? I like the way the hippies put it back in the 80s. They said, He may be your father, but He's not your old man. We do not become casual or carnal, and we do not get to some place where the familiarity is losing that sense of awe that we have been so saved, so forgiven, and we have been so grafted into the true vine. Amen. Jew and Gentile alike, but we have been grafted into the true vine that we might call Him Father. Abba Father, which means Dada. It's the equivalent of Dada, Abba. I remember when my son, who is now with the Lord, and I've got one son with me and one son in heaven now, and a daughter in heaven. So I've got two sons and a daughter, but two of them are waiting for me. Praise God. Listen, friend of mine, when you know God enough to trust Him, then your faith expands and explodes. It's not a force within you. It's a result of a revelation of God that you know Him intimately and personally enough to trust Him. And you discover that He is indeed a provider. Amen. And He is able, and not, let me add to that, willing. Beautiful scripture in the New Testament. God is able, and He's willing and faithful, listen, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Now the Holy Spirit, the Mighty One, is within us to give us strength and to give us power for service. But this power, this that is working in us, I believe it's when our trust grows to a place to where the term faith, New Testament faith, you know, sometimes when people say faith in the New Testament, we think of a force within us. And faith is very powerful, but it's powerful because it is a pure trust in God. If I say the word faith, people think of just the ability to believe. When I say the word trust, which is really faith in the Old Covenant, it says there's a person that you know well enough to put all of your faith in. Praise God. So listen, He's able to do, He's willing to do. He's a great and gracious God. Sometimes there's a time period from the time He provides and the time that we ask. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, you have need of patience. Some of you in the audience should say, tell me about it. Amen. That should bring a big amen. We all need patience. You have need of patience. And it's really not just take a number and wait. It's perseverance. We need to persevere in prayer. Persevere in faith. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Ask, keep on asking. Not ask as if He's never heard, or He's not listening, but ask because we know He's listening. And continue to pray and intercede and believe. It's in the continuous sense, in the way it is written, asking you shall receive. Continually. Never give up on the power and privilege of prayer. Listen to Hebrews, what it says. You have need of patience. That's what allows us to persevere. The word used there, in fact, is perseverance. You have need of perseverance. That after you've done the will of God, you've trusted to Him, you've expressed your faith and trust in Him by praying and believing Him. Praise God. Amen. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Trust. Cast not away your confidence. Don't quit trusting Him because you think He's not going to answer. I love this little phrase. God's delay is not necessarily His denial. If He says no, He's got a better plan. If He closes a door, there's a better door going to open. God is a prayer answering God. He's going to say yes, no, or wait. And I think the yes is awfully easy for me to receive. The no makes me scratch my head and wonder what God is up to, because I can't see how this is going to turn out to a blessing if He doesn't open that door. But you know the hardest part? The hardest part for me is when He says, wait. Listen to how it plays out. But you have need of patience so you can persevere. I'm going to do my own paraphrase. Amen. You have need of patience that you might persevere. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. This is not about the coming of Christ in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is God manifesting that answer to your prayer, that provision of your need, that keeping of His promise. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, seek the Lord and His righteousness, and all these things, everything that we need, will be added to us. Consider the fowls of the air. God feeds them. He's provided everything they need on this planet. Amen. And they're not worrying in the morning. They don't get up and say, "Good Lord, morning," like us worry warts. They get up and say, "Good morning, Lord." And they sing. I wonder if we could just... I remember some song from way back. I go way back. Now, you won't remember this, most of you, but there was a song that was a little pop ditty song. Not that kind of ditty that's in the news. Listen, there was a pop song. "Let's all sing like the birdies do. Tweet, 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 tweet." Honey, that is not what God is hearing. He's not hearing Christians that trust Him like the birdies do. He's hearing Christians struggling with doubt, struggling with fear, vacillating between faith and fear somewhere. And really, if we're not cautioned, we'll end up in our impatience and in our impertinence because of that, accusing God of unfaithfulness. I want to declare unto you today, He loves you anyway. He just can't meet your need till you believe Him for it. There's a law of faith, and He won't violate that. But if you can believe, amen, all things are possible to him that believeth. And whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be given them of your Father, your Provider, Jehovah Jireh, you see. Hallelujah, which is in heaven. Now you can't ask anything that's not according to His will. That's the caveat to this. But we can get in the Bible. We can discover certain things that's His will for everybody. And then there are other things, personal things, that have to do with His plan for your life and mine that we have to seek Him for and begin to acknowledge Him as our Father and then immediately say, "Thy kingdom come. Not my will be done, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But keep your trust in the Lord. Keep your faith in the Lord. If it's shaking, hallelujah, amen. Somebody said if you're in a shaking condition, fall on your knees. It's the best place to be when everything around you is being shaken. Praise God, amen. "Consider the lilies of the field," Jesus said. They don't toil or spin. They're not running around in anxiety. How are we going to make it? Listen, God is providing not only for the birds of the air. God is providing for the lilies of the field. Praise God. And He said, but Solomon in all of his glory, all of his earthly riches, was not clothed as one of these. Amen. And if your Father so provide for them, will He not take you no thought for your life? What you shall eat, what you should drink, and wherewith you shall be clothed? Your Father knows that you have this need. He knows. He's not aloof in His heaven, unaware of what we need. He's waiting for us to trust Him for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to have the peace of all the rest of God's creation that know when He created whatever it is, the bird or the lily, when He created it, He already made a provision for it so you don't have to sweat it. Praise God. I've sweated it out too many times and life is too short. The Bible literally says in the New Covenant, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. I mean, I can almost hear everybody saying what I said when I first saw it. Seriously? Are you serious? Do you not understand my situation? Do you not understand my world that I'm living in? I mean, yes, He does. Yes, He does. And He said, if you let it get to you, and you don't learn to trust me and not lean to your own understanding, you can't achieve the peace that I've want to so much to grant you in the midst of all that trouble and chaos and crisis. There is a place and a person that we can put our trust in and wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord. This is not take a number wait. The actual word comes from a root word that means to bind together by twisting. Amen. It's like making a rope out of three cords, and a three-stranded cord cannot be easily broken. Praise God. When you got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit on your side. Amen. The devil's not going to be able to jerk you around anymore. Friend of mine, I believe in victory in Jesus today, and I believe knowing that God is a provider, and if He loved us enough to offer up His Son to save us and be reconciled to us, how will He not also with Him freely, freely give us all things? I want to sing in the morning. I don't want to sigh in the morning. I don't want to get up and say, good Lord, morning. What do I have to face today? I want to get up and say, no matter what I face today, this is the day the Lord has made. My King has made it. He made me, made the earth. He provides for His provision, His creation. Hallelujah. And I want to be able to sing a praise unto Him no matter what happens. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't want to get up sighing. I want to get up singing. And I want to commit my life to Him. No matter what that day brings, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day grace for this day. God is in control when everything and everyone seems to be out of control. In all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. That word keep is like a keep. They used to call a fort, a fortress, a mighty bulwark, the songwriter said, is our God. It keeps our mind from the fear that produces the worry and keeps us from achieving that peace that He promised us. But it comes through trusting. And trusting comes through knowing a person. It's not just your resolve to believe. It's your resolve to seek Him until you know Him well enough to put your trust in Him. And when we do, the old covenant says, cast your burden, whatever's weighing us down today, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will sustain you. He will never suffer, which men allow the righteous to be moved. If you're right with Him, He is a provider for the grace you need, the strength you need, the counsel you need, the wisdom you need, the money you need, the healing you need, the help you need. God is a provider today. Let's start from the beginning of Psalm 145. Almost time to quit. We're not finished with this. This is just one of the several. There are many more, but in His redemptive love, these names of God are so vital to us in receiving our needs met today by faith. Listen. Yes, faith, because faith is the result of trusting God. Psalm 145, 14 through 19 says this, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat. Remember the lilies, remember the fowls of the air in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Remember Hebrews 10, He will come. He that shall come will come, and He will not tarry. And He's coming to manifest that answer, to meet that need, to help you, to heal you, to provide whatever you need. He's that kind of an Abba, Father, God to His children. He's not sitting aloof in His heaven, and He's not the man upstairs. He's our Heavenly Father. He's not this force somewhere out in the universe. He's our Abba, Father, God. And He provides for everything He's created, and we are the apex of His creation because He gave His Son on the cross, and Jesus gave His life. He offered Him up for you and for me. And Romans 8:32 said, if He loved us that much, if He loved us enough to offer up His only Son, how will He not also with Him give us all things? Hallelujah. Oh, dear friend of mine, what kind of love is this? The Apostle Paul put it this way, what manner of love is this, that we might be called the sons of God? And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God has placed you in a position of great honor. Never think of yourself or say of yourself, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner, but sin no longer reigns in your mortal body. You're not sinlessly perfect, but you are not bound by the darkness and the evil one, and your flesh is not the master controller of your life. Hallelujah. Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit is. And we have a bent toward righteousness. Oh, there'll be conflict with the flesh. But we can reckon and count ourselves. It's a mathematical term. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Hallelujah. Oh, I pray you'll have to chew on this for a while. Amen. I was preaching the other day, and I said something to my wife during the sermon, and she said, but you have the revelation. And I thought, I'm giving it to you. Amen. But I understood exactly what he said. You don't just get this by saying, oh yeah, that's right. You get this when it drops from your head right down into your heart. And then it comes up out of your heart and begins to change what's going on in your head. Hallelujah. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Commit thy way unto Him. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. All because you know your Father as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Praise God. We're safe from hopelessness because we are never helpless. We're not way down here and He's way up there. He's a right here, right now God. And He's right where you are today. And He's aware of everything that you need. For Jesus said, the very hairs on your head are numbered, and your Father knows it altogether. Now, He doesn't have to count as many on me as He used to have to count. Some of you, He may not have to count at all. But I want to tell you something. A God that knows you that personally, never feel like He's way up there You're down here, your little grain of sand, and God is too busy to care about everything that touches your life. Oh, friend of mine, the Bible said of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, our great intercessor, not only on the cross, but now in the presence of the Father in our behalf. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that weakens us, overwhelms us, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly, with courage and confidence, before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of any need. You see, God has opened His hand to satisfy the desire of every living thing. I think of Jesus right now, when they took Him up to the cross to be crucified, and they held His arm in place, and instead of Jesus knew what was coming, they're going to put a nail right there at the base of His wrist, because it would tear through the palm. Right at the base of His wrist, they're going to put a nail to impale Him on each of His hands. And He opened His hands, and He let them nail Him to that cross. I can't imagine the pain that He suffered. A God that would give His Son, a Savior that would give His life to be tortured slowly, agony after agony, die for you and me. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Jehovah Jireh, indeed, He provided a lamb. He provided a lamb for Abraham to offer. Hallelujah. And because He provided a lamb, Abraham called Him the name of the place, Jehovah Jireh, where God provided. I want to tell you something, New Testament believer. God has provided a lamb, a substitute, a sacrificial lamb. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, He's more than a healer. He's more than a great teacher. He's more than just a Savior. It's what He's going to do to save us. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God has come to save us from our sins. Who's come to save us for the sins of the world. Anyone in the world can come to Christ and trust Him, repenting of our sin, and be saved. Today, dear Christian, I pray that you will trust Him. Only way to have this peace in this perilous, troubled time is to be able to commit our way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, so that He can bring to pass what no one else could ever do, but God can and will do, just for you and just for me. I used to listen to preachers on the radio, one in particular, I think it was Oral Roberts years ago, and it would go off with this song after the invitation. There is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you, and I'll just add, He'll provide for you. It is no secret what God can do. He is Jehovah Jireh, and He'll always be whatever He's been revealed to be. For God never changes, and Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He has provided a lamb for you. And I pray today that you will repent of your sin and that you'll receive Jesus as your Savior so you could be reconciled unto God. And you can pray not to the force in heaven, not to the man upstairs, but are right here, right now, God. A God who loved you enough to give His Son for you. A Savior who loved you enough to stay on the cross till He paid our sin debt in full, that we could be forgiven and God could provide for us everything we need, everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything we need down here, and everything we need to take us when He comes for us. He's given us in Jesus. Come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. The name of the Lord is indeed a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and they're safe. He wants to save you, seal you with the Holy Spirit, keep you safe from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name.